You! You would all love to torture me, wouldn't you? Okay, fine. See what you can fit in there. I can take it.
Dude, I've been freaked out this whole time because of that guy's movie?
Fine! If nobody here is man enough to torture me, then just give me my $18.
It's our $18. Your movie sucked.
You can't say my movie sucked, or else you're saying Christianity sucks.
No, dude, if you want to be Christian, that's cool, but you should follow what Jesus taught instead of how he got killed. Focusing on how he got killed is what people did in the Dark Ages, and it ends up with really bad results.
Tone. All right, everybody, welcome into the podcast. We're Matt and Bob. We're back. We're here to pod. We're going to catch up on some streaming movies. That, of course, means it's a
give it a stream.
You're listening to the analysis. So yeah, some big drops, Bob. You got Netflix with a 200 plus million. I think this movie was more like 25, but Blonde just came out a little while ago. Before that, you had movies we missed out on in theaters like Elvis. Prey has been doing very good business for Hulu. That's still like you go on Hulu and that's right there. And then, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't mention another movie that was just released on digital download. I'm, of course, referring to Top Gun Maverick.
Oh, God. Sound the siren. This one, 58 seconds into our conversation before we started talking about Top Gun Maverick.
Have you picked up your digital copy? I have.
I waited in line at Meijer.
yeah, along with the people trying to get their Nintendo Wiis still.
Yeah, the Nintendo Wiis and the two VHS set of Titanic. Same line.
Yeah. So another Netflix drop. I was excited to see this because I liked the movie My Week with Marilyn, right, with Michelle Williams.
Yeah.
I thought
Dom
she did a nice...
Gleason.
Yeah, and who's the guy, the main...
It was Domhnall Gleeson, wasn't it?
I thought it was...
Or was it Eddie Redmayne?
Yeah, Eddie Redmayne.
Some European-Irish fuck that wasn't as good in the movie as Michelle Williams.
Yeah, she was great, and then it's like 1 week, right? And then so this comes along, Ana de Armas looks so great. Like all the press, the tour, promotional images, the little clips of like the recreation scenes. I'm like, man, this looks amazing. I'm like so in to explore and kind of be charmed by this person I don't really know much about. I've only really seen Some Like It Hot, which I think might be her best movie anyway. But you know what I mean? And then this comes out and it's like a turtle taking a shit. Just like you sit in, you're like, it's a 3 hour slog, which I warned you about because you were going to wait to watch it with Brecken. I was like, just get it in, man. I don't think anyone's going to really enjoy this. And it's miserable. It's uncomfortable. It's grotesque. It was so depressing. All the reviews, mostly negative about the male gaze. And this has no interest in Marilyn Monroe. It only has interest in making her suffer. And it's so squirmy. And I just don't know. Why was this made? It wasn't even like it was based on a fictionalized imagining of her life. Like, what is the point of this?
Yeah. Real quick, tell the audience, because this is radio, not television, but tell them what I'm doing right now.
You're slapping your chap. I don't need to see it.
Standing ovation. That was me standing. You had a belt. When I stood in the computer, you could only see my belt, but that was me standing and clapping. Because apparently the Venice Film Festival, they just clap for any old thing. I'm clapping. I'm giving you a standing ovation for that description of this movie.
Appreciate it. Oh, yeah. What's the hang time? Or what's the length of standing?
14 minutes standing ovation. Now I'm like, is Brendan Fraser even any good in The Whale?
Yeah, right. Because didn't he break the record? I don't know.
Anyway, but it's just, so it's, for me, it was.
Got 6 minutes.
Yeah, okay. God damn it. Here we go. Tom Cruise, Top Gun. I know why you love Tom Cruise. It's because he's 60 and still picking up chicks at the bar. And so you think that's going to be you in your cool leather coat at the bar picking up chicks in your 60s.
I got to get one of those leather coats for sure. Actually, I'm more in that blue cable net sweater that Jennifer Connelly is sailing. I want to get that.
Well, okay. So let me give you my takes here. So you know what the first thing I thought about once I got done watching this movie, and absolutely, I think this makes Power of the Dog, aka Power of the Slog, look like Matrix 1 in terms of a thrill ride. But this actually reminds, because you absolutely nailed it when you talked about the suffering, and this movie really didn't seem to want to explore any parts of Marilyn Monroe's life that weren't her being abused, you know, the horrors of Hollywood coming to gobble her up, and you know, obviously, you know, the objectification of her by the media. Like, it really just wanted to focus on all those things, and it reminded me strangely of South Park's take on The Passion of the Christ.
Oh yeah,
do you remember this? Where Stan at the end, you know, Mel Gibson's like nude and twisting his nipples and asking people to torture him, and he's like smearing shit all over his face. And Stan's like, we shouldn't be just focusing on how Christ died. We should be focusing on his message and how he lived. And when you focus on all of these dark parts of his past, which were in medieval times, you know, there's a lot of damage that can be done. And I think to have a movie that only focuses on the way that this woman suffered or even imagines, I don't really know the purpose of having a reimagining of someone's life, but only telling the dark parts about their story. You know, nothing about the joy that this person may have experienced, and no parts of it are about the work ethic and the actual talent that this person had. You know, it just focuses on the objectification and all of the other terrible things. And I just, like, you can talk about things like that. I don't think every biopic just needs to be a highlight reel, but this was almost like a dark highlight reel in the other way.
I mean, lights.
Yeah, and it leads to an exhausting experience. And it really, it's strung together narratively. It's not even telling an interesting story. It was very choppy in terms of where we were going through the narrative, and I just it definitely leaves you drained in an emotional.
Oh, for sure. I almost want to see the Monday Night Crew do a Come On Man review of this movie. Just like you had to show that you're doing. Oh, so these two guys they're in this sexual love tryst, and that like enlivens her sexual nature. Like, that's born out of, I don't know if any truth to that whatsoever of Charlie Chaplin. I mean, another remind me of that, another South Park where, you know, they're making Indiana Jones 3.
They're raping him. Yeah, because they're ruining the legacy.
Yeah, let me give you some quotes here. So you got critical consensus. Ana de Armas, luminous performance, makes it difficult to look away, but Blonde can be hard to watch as it teeters between commentating on exploitation and contributing to it. This is exactly how I felt. Where, like, if I can defend the movie briefly, there's some creative filmmaking. It's like Forrest Gump on crack. It's like a whole nother level.
The way they're able to recreate the scenes, and there's a lot of times where you can't tell what's a recreation and what's not. That was skillful.
Yeah, the way, like, her standing over the sewer grate was shot. There's some really cool, beautiful stuff. But then, and it's like, I get what they're going for, where this woman probably suffered. Obviously, she, you know, died really young and had addictions and was abused.
Mental illness.
Dealt with mental illness in her family, which is probably not talked about much. And then, you know, kind of one of the classics, sleeping your way to the top because of the nature of the studio system and how gross that is. And I think it's trying to make the viewer uncomfortable because that's something that needs to be talked about, how, like, disturbing and kind of real that environment was. And if you're kind of repulsed by what's going on in the movie, then I think that then you need to really think about how we treat these stars. And it's kind of commenting on more the system that bore her than it is really her experience or her traits or her, you know, her strengths. And then in doing so, but it kind of, like it says, it kind of contributes to that misogyny by sort of overly commentating on it. And I just found it sort of gruesome, and
yeah, really it's working against motive. if that was its intention, then the movie in a lot of ways to me works against that ultimate goal.
By also putting Ana de Armas through this, I know she's defended the movie all along the path here, and she's like, I wanted to do this for her. I wanted to challenge myself and really, you know, kind of honor this woman's legacy by, you know, and it's not really about me and what I went through. I think she had a great time filming by all accounts. But at the same time, I saw this great review, I think it was LA Times or someone at The Ringer was like, watching this movie is like being kicked in the balls by a really pretty shoe. So it's like...
That's well done.
Yeah. No, I like that.
So one of the things, because you said some of the value you found in this was cinematically, there was some things done that you thought were for skillful. I think the one thing I will give this, and it's a slight check in a positive column, but there's a lot of negative checks to this movie. I did not enjoy this movie at all, but I do like the way, and this has always been something, whether it was that My Week with Marilyn movie, which I preferred greatly to this, but they talk about how there's a stark difference between Norma Jean and Marilyn Monroe. Yeah. And she gets almost possessed by the Marilyn persona in this movie and with that other one as well. But like this one has almost a creepy horror aspect to it where she, you can see like when she does the Marilyn smile and it's almost like a ghost overtaking her. And that, to me, I thought that was creative and narratively that was the only thing that really worked for me.
Well, yeah, her makeup guy was like, give me 10 minutes and I will summon her, you know what I mean? And then he like puts on the makeup and then she like just doesn't want to do the movie and she like hates her life and then she this character comes out of her.
It's, yeah, I thought that was a cool scene.
I thought the acting
at 3 hours was, I had one cool scene.
Yeah, I mean Ana de Armas, her performance I think is it's amazing. And we'll get to this a bit later, but with Elvis, I think you got these two great performances that are ruined by these dickbag directors.
Mm.
Just trying to put in a bunch of, you know, cool music.
Let me ask, when was the last good biopic you've seen? This isn't a biopic. This is a reimagining. This may as well be set in Narnia for how realistic it is. You could watch a billion YouTube videos of fact versus what they told in the movie. But I think... I think back on a lot of these, especially kind of blockbuster based on a true story. I'm thinking of The House of Gucci. I'm thinking of the Bohemian Rhapsody. And I know people seem to like Bohemian Rhapsody. I haven't thought about it since I've seen it, but
I did like it when I saw it.
But I just none of these inspire me. Like always end up leaving feeling empty, almost like when you watch the live action Disney movies and you're like, ugh, whatever, you know. And it's like every time I see a biopic that comes out that seems to potentially be compelling, I always end up feeling let down by the picture at the end.
Yeah, I'm.
When was the last one? Tell me your favorite one of the last like 10 years.
I'm probably missing one in between, but Walk the Line is the last really good one.
Okay, that was like 2006. Yeah, like, I mean, that's been like almost 20 years since that movie came out.
Walk the Line, Ray.
Like Joaquin Phoenix didn't even have a hair lip back then, right? Okay, so Ray. Okay, Ray was like 2005.
Yeah, they're all kind of right in that area.
I think actually Walk the Line and Ray came out the same year. So anyway.
Walk Hard.
Yeah, Walk Hard, honestly. But yeah, like what's like I'm trying to think of a biopic like even The Darkest Hour, which you can celebrate the performance, like that movie sucked. You want to know the one that I kind of liked? I don't think it's a triumph by any means, but I liked Being the Ricardos, and I know you didn't like Being the Ricardos. Yeah. But it focused on a very specific time, a week in time in the person's life with some occasional flashbacks. It didn't try to take on the entire life from conception all the way to death. It like really focused on a hyper specific period that was going to try to give you the best picture of this person. And it was written obviously by somebody that's very talented, but I think that one to me worked a little bit. At least I was entertained and it felt like I went through a few emotions on the journey. Like, so.
Yeah. I mean, what was the one where the Julia Louis-Dreyfus plays, Mrs. Kennedy, right? That was
Julie Louis Dreyfus. It was Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, Natalie Portman played Jackie. I think it was Jackie called Onassis. Jackie.
Yeah,
that was okay. I
just think that they don't really need to do these movies anymore. Well, I mean that's I guess there's these, you know, celebrity female characters, and it's directed by men, and then it's just, it shows them all their long suffering lives, and it's just not very pleasant, or it's not handled very well. And
last year you had the Kristen Stewart Princess Diana movie, and again that was a very specific point of time and a very fictionalized imagining.
Yeah, that was like watching an opera. I kind of enjoyed that one, but yeah, it's a specific. It's not like
Spencer.
Yeah, Birth to Death. I mean, like the whole run in the whole gamut, and yeah, I had so many issues with this movie.
It just isn't like entertaining. There's nothing about it where you're enjoying yourself. I mean, like, not every movie needs to be a popcorn thrill ride. Like, I, if anyone listens to this podcast, you know I'm a fan of domestic drama. I can get down and excited about a weighty movie and an emotional purge. Yeah.
Revolutionary Road.
Yeah, give me some Revolutionary Road. Smash that tear, Leo. I want to feel it. I want to have my purge, right? But I think I thought it insisted on itself. To use another cartoon,
yeah.
There's a scene in A Family Guy where Peter says that he doesn't like The Godfather, and they're like, "What are you talking about? It's a perfect movie." And he goes, "It insists on itself. And it's like this movie was insisting on itself. It really thought it was just the highest of brow. Like Cameron Dodge White's probably going to call in and say that he loved this. That's how highbrow it was.
Hey, where's that Peter Griffin? He told me he'd give me $100 if I took off all my clothes off.
10 banana cream pie.
Yeah, let's just talk about Family Guy for a while. It's been a
South Park and Family Guy is the only way we can enjoy this conversation.
Put into digestible bits and pieces.
If anyone went along with us on those metaphors, we appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you for listening to the deep cuts.
You know what really pissed me off about this movie? We're like, so it's one of three abortion scenes. Excuse me, one of two abortion scenes. Another one was a miscarriage. But we go inside the vagina canal.
The point of view fetus was the bizarre.
The point of view. It's such a Terrence Malick knockoff.
Oh God,
well. Or like 2001 Space Odyssey, this like baby floating, and we zoom out to like the cosmos, and oh my God.
Such a ripoff of Kubrick. It was really, and the CGI actually was pretty shitty. They spent all their budget on the reimagining of the great scene, and they must not have had the fetus budget. But yeah, that was, the point of view was so unnecessary.
Yeah. Seeing the tweezers going in.
Yeah, like, so unnecessary. Ah, man, that felt like a political agenda as well, which is just totally tone deaf. If you weren't turned off by then, like that was enough.
Yeah, that really lost me. I was like, how much of this do we have left? Oh, an hour and a half.
Yeah. I think people now are starting to tune in just to hate watch it.
Like, yeah, I think so.
It's probably going to end up getting a decent amount of views because people have read so much about why it's terrible. They're like, fuck it, I'll give this a watch. And they probably get to that scene and they're like, yeah, fuck this movie. And then they can talk about it and hate on it in the office.
Or like when the nude child is being strangled underwater and that scene and then she's walking through the flames. Yeah, I find it very unlikely most people will get it out of the first half hour on this. And the director, Andrew Dominik, I mean, what he's done,
Jesse James, Assassination of Jesse James. Yeah. Another one where it's like fame and obsession.
And 3 hours long.
Yeah.
But that one has to be celebrated, I gotta say, I guess. But then Killing Him Softly, I never saw. And then I met this guy at that place I worked at in Hollywood. He was like this weird, creepy dude. I think he made a comment that he said that I looked like a James Franco, who had gotten more sleep, and I actually take that as a compliment.
That is a compliment, actually.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the bottom line here,
I get
here
a compliment
of,
I look like James Franco if he gains 70 pounds.
it's that marathon relapse happens to us all.
I haven't ran since.
Yeah. Just very exploitative and unpleasant to watch, yeah. And unnecessarily, I don't know, crass or abusive to its star and also Marilyn. Just almost unforgivable.
Yeah, just go watch Marilyn Monroe movies instead of this. Like, honestly, yeah, it'll do you service.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm still waiting to be inspired and entertained by a biopic. The last few years, I can't think of off the top of my head. Feel free to text into us or respond with ones that you think I'm missing. I'm starting to be all set with the genre.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely been a while.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because, like, sometimes, you don't necessarily, there's documentary. I think there's been more accepting of documentaries that people will kind of just, I just want the facts, you know what I mean? And the biopic has kind of gone away because what do I need a Hollywood reimagining for? Just give me the straight jazz.
But then, speaking of Netflix, Dahmer is all the rage right now, and that's basically a biopic that lasts for 8 hours, and I haven't seen it yet, and that's getting some bad press as well. So not a lot of good press coming from Netflix, unless you believe all press is good press. But there's the victims are talking about the celebratory way or the way people are kind of gobbling up their pain as entertainment, and so anyway, I digress, but
yeah,
that we'll
shut the book on Blonde, but yeah, I think some hate watching is definitely going on there, and $22 million, I just don't understand why make it or why go that direction and so hard.
There's one more secret I feel I have to share with you.
I did not care for The Godfather.
What?
Did not care for The Godfather.
How can you even say that, Dad?
Didn't like it.
Peter, it's so good. It's like the perfect movie.
This is what everyone always says. Whenever they say, oh,
Robert De Niro, Al Pacino. Robert Duvall.
Fine actor. Did not like the movie.
Why not?
Did not. Couldn't get into it.
Explain yourself. What didn't you like about it?
It insists upon itself, Lois.
What?
It insists upon itself.
What does that even mean?
Because it has a valid point to make. It's insisting.
It takes forever getting in. You spend like 6.5 hours, and then, I can't even get through. I can't even finish a movie. I've never even seen the ending.
You've never seen the ending?
Well, how can you say you don't like it if you haven't even given it a chance?
I agree with Joey. It's not really fair.
I have tried on 3 separate occasions to get through it, and I get to the scene where all the guys are sitting around on the easy chairs.
Yeah, it's a great scene. I love that scene.
It's not noted in every annal.
I have no idea what they're talking about. It's like they're speaking a different language. That's where I lose interest and I go away.
They're speaking Italian.
The language they're speaking is a language of subtlety, something you don't understand.
I love the money pit. That is my answer to that statement.
Exactly.
Well, there you go.